Hello, this is Carl Bastian, a.k.a. The Kidologist, and welcome to a special edition of Kidmen Talk. We interrupt our regularly scheduled broadcast to bring to you this bonus broadcast. Next week, I'll bring to you the previously planned broadcast featuring our Kidmen keyword based on the letter G, which will be the Gospel, when I will discuss the importance of incorporating the gospel into your ministry planning and curriculum, as well as effective follow-up strategies and resources. But due to the recent events at Penn State, I have decided to bring to you a special report and an interview with Kids Blitz founder Roger Fields. Because Kidmen Talk is not just about equipping and encouraging you, it is about keeping you current and challenging you in regard to current events that impact children's ministry. So let's talk Kidmen. This is a special edition of Kidmen Talk. Please be advised that the content of this program is for adults and will contain some content of a graphic nature and is not for the squeamish or those who cannot handle sensitive topics, but it is important. Well, by now you should be aware of what's been going on at Penn State. If you're not aware, you need to get on Google because I don't want to take the time to repeat and explain all of the tragic events that have been happening there with the child abuse cover-up. But you might not be aware that Roger Fields, a man that I greatly respect and that I consider one of my mentors, has been lighting up Twitter with a little rampage because he is fired up about what he believes is a lack of children's ministry people speaking out about the cover-up there with the child abuse cover-up that took place there, and that really believes that we should be fired up and offended by that and concerned with it. And so I asked Roger if I could call him and talk to him about that. And so I'm going to give Roger a call here and talk to him about this very subject. So let me just give Roger a call here and get him on the line here on Kidmen Talk, because we want to keep current with what is going on in the world of children's ministry. And Roger is a guy who is never afraid to say what is on his mind.
Yep. This is Tara. May I help you?
Yeah, is Roger there? This is Carl Bastian.
Hey, Carl. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
This is Tara. Hold on one second for me.
We're waiting for Roger Fields, the man, the legend. Hey, Roger, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Things out there in Colorado?
Things are always beautiful. You know, this is God's country here.
Well, it is very pretty. Did you see you into skiing?
You know, I'm not into skiing. I love hanging out in Breckenridge. I go there to write quite a bit, and I love watching the skiers.
Yep.
But I have a thing for crashing into trees.
So, man, I did that snowboarding there one time. Boy, I'll tell you what, I fell so hard so many times on my shoulder, ended up crawling back to the clubhouse or whatever, and it hurt for years. For months after, I really determined that I broke a collarbone or broke something, and I just never, you know.
Well, I don't have anything against skiers. I admire them. But when I was a youth pastor, every time we went on a ski trip, I spent most of the time in the ER with broken teenagers, so I kind of have a different perspective on it. And I didn't mind being in the ER, but I was always there, you know, visiting broken people, and I just decided I don't ever want to be one of those broken people.
Yeah, I hear that. I did all right skiing. That snowboarding, though, boy, really beat me up.
Yeah. Well, everybody's got their own form of insanity. Mine is riding six-foot unicycles, and so I can't really be critical. We just all have our own form of insanity. So anyway, well, we had Greg Baird on Kidmen Talk here just a couple weeks ago talking about Kidmen Conference, and he caught us up on Kids Blitz a little bit and what he's been doing out there in the western states. And it's very exciting to hear about the book that you're writing.
Thanks.
Just the adventures that you guys have had and how God's been blessing your ministry. And you know, I've been a follower and a believer in it for years.
You're in the book.
I am in the book.
That's all good. Yeah, you're mentioned in the book.
That's what I heard. So that's
in a positive way.
That's a great honor. And we had you at the very first Kidology University conference there at Village Church of Barrington, and then we had you at our grand finale after 10 years. So you were the bookend event there for our Kidology conference, and we always appreciated your support there. So thank you.
I appreciate it.
Well, the reason I called you today, Roger, we need to connect more often. So I feel bad that it took such a tragic event for us to connect today. But you've been lighting up Twitter. One thing I admire about you is you are a man who's not afraid to speak your mind. You're a man that's not afraid to say what needs to be said. You're not afraid to offend. And sometimes we need to be offended to think. And you're one of the few blogs that I read every single post, and I have them automatically retweeted in my stream because I think people need to read what you write. So, you know, I do most of the talking normally on my podcast, but really today I want to just give you an audience. I want you to rant and rave. You said I'm going to have to bleep you in one of your tweets, so I've got a bleep button here. I may have to edit this after, so you know, that's why I'm recording on Monday, so that I can, you know, censor you after I record this, you know, and put in some hallelujahs and some church bells. But I want you just to share your heart, and I'll interact with you. But I'm going to sit back a little bit, and I want you to rant. I want you to share with me and with my listeners, why are you ticked off? Why are you ranting in 140 characters? So I just really want you to share. And I don't think we need to rehearse the events. You know, before I called you, I said to people, if they don't know what we're talking about, they need to get on Google and catch up. So how does this relate to children's ministry? What is our lesson to learn? And I've got a few thoughts on it, but I really wanted to just give you a platform. We've got several thousand people that are listening to this podcast, and shake them up a little bit, and I'll interact with you and ask you some questions or whatever, but I just wanted to give you the platform.
All right, well, I appreciate it, Carl. Let's do it, man.
Okay. Well, fire away. What's the first thing that just is on the tip of your tongue about this?
Well, the whole thing, this is just, you know, disturbing. It's got me a little bit upset on several different levels. First of all, just the nature of what happened is absolutely enormous. Over a 15-year span, defensive coordinator for the Penn State was abusing. They know of eight boys for sure that are part of the 21 indictment. And when they say that historically, when they know of eight, there's probably 80 out there. So this was enormous. There were a lot of boys whose lives were messed up. A lot of boys who, buying a miracle from God, will never have a normal adulthood due to what this man did to them. Secondly, Sandusky, who did this, was founder of a programming, non-profit program called The Second Mile. Now, this is an organization supposed to help underprivileged boys. So he used a non-profit organization to gain access to these boys. That's how he did it. So that's a bit disturbing. And it gets worse as we go. Now, thirdly, Penn State knew about this in the higher up echelons of the university. We know that they've already fired the president. They fired Paterno. One of the things that happened is that there was a kind of graduate assistant, Mike McQuarrie, who stumbled into the shower at Penn State and heard some weird noises and went over and saw Sandusky and a boy having oral sex in the shower. So he went to Paterno and went to his house, told him what he'd seen, what had happened. Paterno went to somebody else in the university, and it pretty much died there. They were never interviewed by university police. Nobody ever called the police, the city police. It just basically died. And stuff like this happened over a period of years. And so it seemed pretty clear to me that the university had no real interest in pursuing this because they didn't want to stain what has been perceived to be a model football program in colleges. Paterno had a pretty good record as being an upstanding guy. And the program made $50 million a year. And so you have a situation where, you know, there was just some fear, evidently, that, you know, this is going to stain the program and they wouldn't want to do this. If this sort of thing had happened in another department of the university, it probably would have been dealt with a lot differently. So then, then you had Paterno fired, the president fired. Another thing kind of that really, you know, upsets me is that we had 3,000. 2,000 students that rioted because Paterno was fired. Now, I think the Board of Regents did the right thing. I think they should have fired Paterno. Just because, he had a good record for a while. He'd been there, 40-some years, and he had a great record. But you cannot let a man on your staff abuse boys, a serial abuser, a predator, run free without taking some action that should have been a lot tougher than what he took. In other words, you can't just go to the higher-ups and let the thing die. If that doesn't work, you go to the police. You have to make this thing stop. Paterno did not do that.
Yeah, I read the grand jury report, and I believe that boy that you mentioned, the shower, I believe that was victim number 6, and it was actually intercourse, I believe, anal sex. And he actually saw that. The boy actually saw him. And, the consequence when that assistant coach checked back a few weeks later, they had took away his keys. That was a pathetic consequence. And, obviously it was not taken seriously.
Now, let me kind of sum this up, and then before I make my next point, which is really, I think, maybe for us, the bigger point in all this. So you have a university that did not pursue this predator to get rid of him. They evidently were afraid of the ramifications, and then you have these students, or 3,000. Now, many students didn't feel this way, by the way. Many students valued the well-being of the boys over Paterno, but 3,000 were more concerned with Paterno than they were the boys. So you have at least a piece of the culture, of our culture, that's upset at what this does to their sports program, and more concerned about that than what happened to these boys. So you have a kind of a cultural meltdown. I mean, you can ask a lot of questions. One would have been different at another university, whatever. I don't know, but we live in a place where in a culture where sports is elevated pretty high, and in this case, over the well-being of boys. Now, here's kind of why I burned up Twitter. Is that, in children's ministry, we've all had the experience where we're sometimes not taken seriously, and we're looked upon as being child care providers and not ministers. Well, this is a chance to be a little bit of a minister. This is a chance to have a voice, to at least just speak out, on Twitter, Facebook, and just say, this is not right. It is not right for a university to have some kind of, arena or some kind of environment where a predator can run loose, abuse these boys with no recourse. Finally, it comes to a place where you have to fire the president, fire the coach, and then you have students upset by that. I mean, it looks to me like that children's ministers, children's pastors ought to be able to just say something about this. It looks to me like when something like this happens in our culture, that the media ought to be going to some people in children's ministry and say, hey, what do you guys think about this? They'll be going to you, Carl, or go to Michael Chandler or Jim White and say, what do you think about something like this that would happen in America? Well, the reason they don't go to us is because we don't speak out enough collectively. And I'm talking to one of us, but we don't collectively voice a little bit of outrage.
Where would you recommend?
I think we're too timid.
Where do you recommend that this should be being spoken out with?
Blog. I'm not saying we riot or take to the streets. Nothing like that.
Sure. So with appropriate hashtags in Twitter and on blogs.
Yeah, just say, hey, this is wrong. We're upset about this. It doesn't have to be anything that's cataclysmic I'm not talking about any kind of disruption of culture. Just that we ought to be able to voice it in whatever avenues we have.
Well, and I missed it. I was late on it because I'm not a college sports guy. I don't follow college football, but I just kept seeing Penn State here and Penn State there, and I forget what day I finally got curious, what in the world's happening at Penn State? I thought there was a championship or something. I'd never heard of Joe Paterno before. I don't follow, I don't even follow the Final Four unless it's this Kidman blog thing that Tony Coomer does. That's the only Final Four I follow. And, I didn't even know what the Final Four was, but I started reading this thing, I got emotional about it. My wife walked through the living room, noticed me and said, what are you reading about? And I was shaken up and telling her about what was happening at Penn State. And at that point they were saying that, the coach's support was wavering. And I was reading about, you know, what a historic coach he was and how winnable he was and how many decades he'd been there, and that they, you know, that was causing him to maybe get to hang on to his job. And at that point, I was saying, where's the debate? Fire this guy.
Yeah.
Fire the president. I mean, you know, because I had some objectivity because I'd never heard of him before.
Yeah.
And I was like, you just fire him, period. I don't care what he's done in the past or how many football games he's won. You know, there's a kid out there that for 10 years, you know, I'm sitting there counting the years on my fingers trying to figure out how long ago this event happened, and was trying to figure out, well, what's he been doing for all these years, and how did he not tell his parents? And yeah,
well, we're told, and I mean, one mom did go.
Yeah, and you know,
got nowhere.
Yeah, she got nowhere because she, you know, that I think that was victim number two. He went home and she saw that his hair was wet, and when she found out this guy had showered with her son, I mean, she immediately went back and confronted him, and she actually had a wiretap on and got that recorded. And
yeah, she had good evidence on her.
She had good evidence, and that even didn't go far enough.
No. Well, you know, but even friends of mine have said, well, we feel so sorry for Coach Paterno. He's had such a great career and all that. Well, you know, I don't care about that. I don't care about his great career. I don't care that he got fired. I don't care that he was, you know, evidently a fairly great guy from this point. What I care about are these boys. And this is allowed to go on. Not allowed to go on unchecked. And can I make one more point?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the ramifications for children's ministry is this, and I know this gets a bit hairy, but, you know, if you know of, I just suspect, if you know of abuse that's going on with kids that you come in contact with, you have an obligation not just to tell your senior pastor, but to tell the police. I know one case, for instance, a man that that works for us that was at a church one time that he was on staff and found out that the youth pastor had shaken his baby. And so they immediately got a hold of him, got with him, and, you know, took the baby from him for a few hours to kind of sort all this out. But he had to call the police. Now, the senior pastor was upset with that. And so, you know, he didn't want the bad PR on the church. And he said, you know, our man said, well, you know, I'm sorry, but I'll call the police anyway. Well, the pastor was very upset. Ended up basically later on that the man had to leave the church over it. The youth pastor's wife was livid. Now, they were mad as hornets. And it was Ken that works for us, I'll just tell you, that did this happen to. And so Ken, you know, reported the police, reported the senior pastor. Pastor's upset. Youth pastor's wife were upset. And so then, but anyway, they took the services, took the baby away. Several months later, called Kim, said, you know, this couple's been great to work with. We've now restored them with their baby. Everything's fine. A couple of years later, the wife called Ken up and said, you know what? I'm so thankful that you did that, because really my husband was not only abusive to our baby, but abusive to me too. And that was a turning point in our marriage when you did that. And so what I'm saying is this, is that we've got to, I think, on two levels, have a little more courage, have a little less timidity, one, to speak out about this kind of stuff, and secondly, to take decisive action. Your senior pastor does not have the right to tell you that you cannot go to the police when abuse is going on. And we got to be clear about that. He does not have that legal right, and you are liable legally if you do not report it, regardless of what your senior pastor says.
Well, and you have to understand that abusers have incredible manipulative power over their victims and convince their victims that they are special and they're the only one. And it isn't until you go to the police that other victims sometimes will have the courage to come forward.
Right, that's true.
And so it's important to go to the police so that others will realize I'm not the only one, and then that's when you find out that there are others there. So that's an incredibly important point, and I'm glad that you made that, because you know, you can feel intimidated by your pastor, and it doesn't mean senior pastors are bad guys. You know, they have a responsibility to protect the church and lead the church, and they may be very sincere and mean well, and may very much believe that they're doing the right thing, but you've got to put the kids first, and you've got to do what's right for that child, even if
it's legal.
Yeah, and it may mean going against a pastor you love and respect and like, and who's a friend, but you've got to say, I'm sorry, brother, I got to do this for the kid, and you might be mad, but I'm not going to be the one that later on wishes I had done the right thing because things get worse or come out later. And look at Penn State. I mean, at least now people can point to Penn State and say, you know, which is worse, to have our church be in the paper over one kid or have our church be in the paper because there was a cover-up and we didn't report somebody who had a string of abuse that we knew about, and we tried to protect ourselves from a mini-scandal that turned into a major scandal.
I mean, you gotta think, if any group of people would be a bit outraged at this, it ought to be us calling. It ought to be children's pastors. You know? I mean, I watched Fox News, and Geraldo was more upset about this than most of the children's pastors I know. I mean, something's wrong with that.
You know,
I've been a little bit off for a long time that Kidmen don't seem to have enough spine. And I just really put it bluntly, if I haven't offended some of the listeners out there, we'll go ahead and just do it now.
Well, thanks for giving me a word that I can bleep out there.
Bleep that one out. But I'm just telling you that you know, if we want to be taken seriously as ministers, then let's start acting like ministers. Let's start having a voice. Let's start standing up and having a little courage, taking a stand on a few things. You know, it's not about just coloring sheets in your organizational chart. It's about, you know, having a voice into the families and into our culture's life. And if I can pitch this, but I did write an article about this on RogerFields.com that kind of spells out some of this. So, if, you know, if you don't mind me pitching that.
No, not at all. And we'll link to it in our show notes. You know, I really wanted to just mention that I think what came to my mind was the story of the Good Samaritan, because one of the things that bothers me, you know, I want to be sympathetic to that assistant coach and not come down on him. You know, I don't know him, and I don't want to ever assume that I would do the right thing, although I certainly would hope that I would, and it's very easy with hindsight to jump on somebody else, and I want to always be cautious of us doing that. You know, but I think about that assistant coach who saw what was going on, and but you know, you think about a young boy who's in a situation like that, and something horrible is happening, and you know they're not enjoying that, to make the ultimate understatement. They're hoping for a hero. They're hoping for someone to come along and to rescue them, and they're praying for that. And then somebody comes along, they see somebody, and that person turns and walks away, and their hope is dashed in that moment. And I think of the story of the Good Samaritan, when that guy was beaten by thieves. He's laying there on the side of the road, dying, and you know that first person comes along and doesn't help and passes on by. And it was a Jew. It was someone who of their own type, goes on by, and then you know a Levite, and then a priest comes by, you know, and finally the Good Samaritan, you know, who was an enemy, culturally different, comes by. What's different about this story is that we never got that Good Samaritan. And the reason is that not only did the folks who had the opportunity to help come by and not help, but they covered up the person who'd been beat up and hurt. It'd be as though you rewrote the story of the Good Samaritan, and when that Levite and the priest came by, they didn't cross to the other side. They took that beat up guy and moved him behind the boulders, put some bushes in front of him to make sure that when the Good Samaritan came by, he didn't even see the guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's worse. And because there wasn't any love there at all. And when we see people in need, you know, the whole message of that story was, who is my neighbor? And when we see people in need, a child, you know, there's a burden upon us. Obviously, in a situation as extreme as this, if we see abuse, you know, to report it, to act on it, to defy our senior pastor if necessary, as you say. But let's step this down a couple notches, because Lord willing, we're never going to see that in most ministries. But we need to widen our eyes and our perspective a little bit, because in all of our ministries, there's needy children. And I think the application could be taken down a few notches to say, let's widen our eyes and our gaze to be more observant, because there are abused kids in all of our ministries.
Right, there are.
Statistically, there are abused kids sitting in your children's church. And
we've got to be the ones keeping our eyes open and screaming to high heaven.
Yes. And
like this happens when there's a kid.
Yeah, and we need to be more observant. And when we see those withdrawn kids and we see those hurting kids, you know, we shouldn't be jumping to conclusions and, you know, rushing to accuse people. That's not what I'm advocating. But we need to be watchful, and we need to be looking for those signs. And
I don't believe in unfairly accusing an adult. If you don't know for sure it's happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't make anything up, and you don't assume, you know, I'm not talking about anything like that.
No.
You know, I know there have been some parents unfairly accused of abuse. Of
yes, and I know some personally that have had that happen, and it can be terrible.
Make a distinction there. You know, I think the scripture where Jesus says, you know, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. You know, God takes a pretty dim view of people who would mess up the lives of kids.
Yeah.
And it's time we do too.
Yeah. Well, I think you've made some incredibly good points. I think more people need to speak out. I think children's pastors, you're right, should be known for being advocates for the safety and protection of children. And when these things happen, we ought to be some of the first to speak out about it in the outlets that we have. You know, we should be using the hashtags that are out there. People are searching those, and they ought to be hearing from us whose profession is not blowing up balloons and doing magic tricks, but we do that to reach kids, but it ought to be, they should be hearing from us. And and so we should be speaking out, and we should be not ashamed to do so. And when it happens, God forbid, in our sphere of influence, may we learn from this to be bold and to put the kids first above our reputation, the church's reputation, the wrath of a boss, and to put the kids first, no matter what.
Right, I agree.
Well, do you feel better getting that off your chest?
I feel a little better now. I'd like to say one last thing. Now, could I have one little?
You sure can.
You know, if I have you know, offended any, you know, well-meaning children's pastors out there by what I've said or my tone, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, just get over it.
You know, I think you probably haven't. If you have, they may have needed it. But I honestly think that most are amening you, and others have probably just been so busy, and we get focused and we get narrow-minded, and our scope often is not outside, and that's unfortunate. But I think people are like, oh my goodness, I need a third grade teacher this Sunday, and oh my goodness, my curriculum hasn't arrived, and I've got to make photocopies, and you know, we get so busy, sometimes we need somebody to just kind of shock us back into the reality of, hey, there's a lost world out there, and there's things happening out there beyond my church and beyond, you know, my immediate fires that I'm trying to put out. And that's one of the gifts that God's given you, to keep bumping us out of our narrow focus of our little sphere of the kingdom that God's assigned us to. That's a gift God's given you, and we appreciate you for that. And you know, you're a bit of a prophet of kids ministry, and that's the role of a prophet. And we thank you for it, and I'm glad to be able to help broadcast that to some more, and it's good food for thought. So thank you.
Thanks, God. I really appreciate you giving me the chance just to kind of hear this out.
All right, well, you keep going with Kids Blitz and your awesome curriculum. And by the way, you'll get a kick out of this, but you remember years ago when you sent me a sample of your Big Kids Studio curriculum to review, and I tell people that's one of the coolest Kids Church curriculums, because you get to pretend that you're creating a movie. And I love it because you can change your theme to Western or space or whatever you want, because within the context of making a movie, you can change your theme. Whereas too often in children's church, you pick a theme, you decorate your room, and then you're kind of stuck with that theme when you get tired of the theme. So a movie-making theme, I think, is the most genius theme you can have for a children's church. Well, in that box you sent me, you actually give them an on-the-air light-up box, you know, a little light. Well, I have that mounted at the bottom of my stairs in my house here in Colorado. So whenever I'm recording a podcast or a Disciple Town Object Talk video, anytime I'm recording, that's on at the bottom of my stairs. So that's on right now. And so if my wife or my son or an employee comes downstairs, if they see that on, they know to tiptoe because I'm actually recording something. So that's on right now, Roger.
Cool.
Right behind my shoulder at the bottom of the stairs. I still have that, and I use it every time I record Kidman Talk or anything else. And that was a gift from you. And I still have that. And it's what? That's been years.
It's been a while, yeah.
So anyway, it's an awesome curriculum. You crank out great stuff for children's ministry. But the best thing that you crank out is fresh, shocking, thought-provoking ideas. And please keep them coming.
Well, thank you, Carl, very much. You're a good friend. Appreciate all that you do, Carl. And I really appreciate the chance to kind of hear this out.
All right. Well, you get back to it and keep us on our toes.
All right. Thanks, sir.
All righty. Bye. All right,
bye.
All right. Well, that was Roger Fields, and his blog is simply rogerfields.com, and his Twitter is at Roger Fields. I would encourage you to follow him and keep up with him. He's a guy that says it the way he thinks it, whether you like it or not. And that's why I like him so much. And good food for thought. And I would encourage you to comment in the forum and love to hear your thoughts on this whole Penn State thing. And I challenge you, take him up on his challenge. Tweet about this whole Penn State thing. Blog about it and get your thoughts out there so that people know that children's pastors, those whose life and career and calling is leading kids to Christ and teaching them to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to live for God, those who that is their life, they care about this, and they're upset about it, and they're concerned about it. Put that out there, because people are going to read it, and maybe people who have never heard of a children's pastor are going to learn about what a children's pastor is, and it may be an indirect and a subtle way to draw them to Christ and to the church, and to find out that there are people out there whose livelihood is reaching kids with the good news of Jesus Christ. So thanks again, Roger, for your time. This was Kidman Talk, bringing to you the latest of what's going on in the world of children's ministry. Well, I hope you enjoyed this Kidman Talk special edition. We'll return next week to our regular programming. Please join in the discussion in the forum to talk about this interview with Roger and to share your thoughts on the whole Penn State situation. And if you blog about it, post a link there so others can read what you have shared on the topic. Show Roger that you are one of the ones that are speaking out on the behalf of children. Until next week, I'll see you in the forum, or you can reach me by email at carl@kidmantalk.com or on Twitter @kidmantalk. Remember, you can shape the show with your comments, questions, and suggestions. So let's talk Kidman.